Blog Talk Radio.
Men grappling in the mud. They called it pro football.
With the players.
Come on, Ryan, direct from hell. Final
pass. But hey, enough of my yakking. What do you say? Let's boogie.
And good evening, and that starts, time to start the show, guys. We're not going to start off like we normally do. Welcome to a special edition of the Hard Rockin' Sports Show, live from high atop Monroe Township Studios here in Hard Rockin' Sports Studios here in Monroe Township, New Jersey. Sorry, guys. It's been a long day. We are doing a little special edition. We were off last Thursday. I took a well-needed vacation with the wife and puppies. And Jeff took the week off, so we decided to do a little makeup show for you. So we hope that you'll listen in. We got to get the ball rolling real quick. We're not going to do it. It's not going to be very long, maybe less than an hour. We want to get to all the NFL action for this week. So sit tight, sit around, and let's see what we're up to. Let's get Jeff in. What's up, Hefe?
What are you doing, man? You sound very enthused.
No, setting a little bit of a tempo for the show. I don't think this is one of those shows we're going to get so excited about. But this is a big week.
This is a show. This is an emergency broadcast. This is something that had to be done tonight.
Yeah,
it had to be.
Yeah, I agree. We missed a lot. We missed a lot in the week off,
yes.
And Thursday off.
Yes, but mostly it's just too much going on. We had to get out there and give our opinions on it.
I agree. So let's get to it. You know, Jeff, there was a lot of stuff this week in the NFL, a lot of new players. We'll get to more of the NFL on Thursday. It was a lot of new. Let's just go recap real fast some of the big things that happened while we were away. Biggest news, I would say, was Eli Manning. I guess we'd call it being benched for Daniel Jones. What was your initial reaction, Jeff, when you – and then, seriously, I know the text I got, but the initial reaction from in your head.
I was a little shocked that they did it at the time they did. And the reason I say that is because their receivers didn't appear to be healthy. And, you know, the team just wasn't clicking. And it didn't appear to be Eli's fault to me. I didn't see where he was the problem. The defense was horrible. You know, all they really had was Barkley. That it was almost like, why are you putting this kid in a bad position? When you want to make the transition, you think that he's your replacement, your future quarterback, and why are you putting him in a bad position by putting him when receivers aren't healthy and they're not back from suspension? But I got to be honest, Tom, this kid looked clean, crisp. He had poise. He didn't look like he was ever confused. I don't remember really seeing him run too much to get out of trouble. He stayed in his position, his, in the pocket. He made one throw in particular. It was down towards the goal line. I couldn't believe the throw. I think it was early in the third quarter. And I was like, you got to be kidding me with the throw that this kid made. I was actually impressed. I really was. You know, the text messages that go between me and you were completely different than real life. That's just because I'm bored and have nothing else to do.
Yeah, I let's see. Yeah, I will tell you. Here's what impressed me, Jeff. I watched the entire game. I probably watched every snap. Let me back up a step. My first initial reaction was why? Like, why at this point? Eli's still playing well. I don't think he's playing great, but he's still playing well. I didn't see the need to put this kid out there with just what you said, Jeff. A damaged receiving core, on the road, you know, a hostile environment. I was like, you know, why not wait till Golden Tate comes back? Why not wait till you're at home? Maybe coming off the bye week. I didn't like it, but I think, Jeff, and you always tell me it's I'm too emotional. I think it was the emotion part of not that Dan Jones was going to start, that Eli wasn't going to play, and that Eli, my quarterback for 15 years, was going to ride the pine. I think that's what prevented me from realizing that it was probably time, simply just to get him out there. Let's see what he can do. And you've been saying it for months, and I was dead set against it.
Oh, you know, Tom, it does give them a chance for this season. All right, let's be honest. You're talking about a team that now has a possibility. Now, Barkley went down. He's out 4 to 8 weeks with a high ankle sprain. So you don't know what's going to happen because now that makes them one-dimensional again. You know, but this kid Jones could run in there, and the Giants haven't had a running quarterback since Jeff Hostetler. Back in the late 80s, early 90s. So, you know, everybody just used to stand there and throw the ball. Matter of fact, Hostetler was the last Giant quarterback to run for two touchdowns in a game, I think it was, or two touchdowns in a season. So, you know, it's kind of a different game plan for them now.
Oh, but, yeah.
You know, with Barkley hurt, you got to wonder if this hurts him, but that kid had so much poise back there. If you told me he was a 4 or 5 year veteran back there, I would have believed it. I would have said, oh, shit, this kid knows what he's doing. This guy on Sunday, but then again, it was the Buccaneers. So it's not like he went out there and he shredded up the Saints or the Patriots. It was the Buccaneers, but the kid looks like he can play.
Well, here's the thing. Again, I think that's the thing, Jeff. I'm going to look past. Let's put it this way. Let's look past the fact that it was the Bucs. Okay, I think that's fair. We can look past the Bucs and say, yes, he wasn't playing a top 10 defense. He wasn't playing a top 10 team. I think what you look at is results. You know, I watched it, and one thing I was very impressed with the kid was he didn't look. You know, here's a kid with obviously a lot of athleticism, can run. And he was never looking at the pass rush. The few times he got out of the pocket, it was almost instinct. You saw him move last second. His eyes are constantly down the field. And that's what impressed me most. Beside his mechanics were great. I thought he made every single throw he made. You know, it was some of the knocks on him were that he didn't have a great arm, didn't have a great touch. And I think all that was shredded with what I saw on Sunday. Again, will he ever repeat this kind of game? I have no idea. For a first game, Jeff, the kid looks like, again, I'll keep saying it, he looks like an NFL quarterback. That's the best you can, you know, if he went out there and ran around all day and improvised and ran for a bunch of yards, I'd say, you know, Jeff, that'll catch up to him. That's Colin Kaepernick. The kid looked like an NFL quarterback who could sit in the pocket and throw the football.
Yeah, he did. He was on the money with a lot of his throws. Hold on, would you stop, please? My on-air partner here, Basil, the one-eyed Boston Terrier, is being a major pain in the ass right now.
That's okay.
He's going to go lay down over there. Go ahead, go play with the ball. Mm-hmm. He just looked sharp.
Yeah.
I kept waiting for the play. I kept waiting for the play that said, okay, this isn't going to work. And it never came. The guy just was on the money. He was cool. He was collect.
Uh-huh.
And once again, you know, not for nothing, but Tampa Bay did have that one defensive end that played a monster game.
Yeah, Shaquille Barrett, I think his name is. Yeah. He won player of the week the week before, and I got a feeling with four sacks, he's going to get it again. Listen, that's a rookie quarterback. He held the ball too long. He was a little too loosey-goosey with the ball a couple times. For his first game, it's impressive. It's funny. I was watching the NFL pregame shows in the morning, and I don't usually watch I think it's one on the NFL Network. It's with Michael Irvin, Kurt Warner. Who else is on there? The Mooch, Mariucci, and the other guy. Anyway, Michael Irvin said that he would be completely impressed, and he was betting on the fact that Daniel Jones was going to do better than the combined first games of Phil Simms and Eli Manning. And Eli Manning and Simms combined for 199 yards and one touchdown, and Michael Irvin predicted that the kid would double that, and he certainly did. He ran for two touchdowns, threw for two touchdowns, and he threw for 336 yards. It's quite an impressive day for a start. But listen, let's talk about the game a little bit as well, Jeff. And I don't know, you didn't get to see it, but I don't know did you see the end of the game? You saw enough of the game, right?
I watched about three quarters of the game, and then I kind of lost interest in it near the end. Because it just seemed to be going on forever, and then I probably missed the best part.
Well, what happened was, shame on you is right, because, here's the thing. Now, and it's typical Bruce Arians and Todd Bowles. So here's where, first off, they take the lead, Tampa. Kid gets the ball, he drives them down the field, gets down to about the 7-yard line. No, maybe it's the 12-yard line or something like that. And the kids run the ball well all day. He's got out of trouble. He's ran for a touchdown at that point. And essentially, Jeff, they split the entire field and left him. When he took off up the middle for the touchdown, Jeff, there wasn't a Tampa jersey in the screen. I mean, he ran 12 yards, and he looked like he could have went 50 before anybody got to him. It was a terrible, terrible play call by the defense and Todd Bowles. So that is the first mistake. The second mistake is they complete a very long pass when they get the ball back to Mike Evans. They get down. Now they're in field goal range. They're down a point, and they're in field goal range. So they got about 13 or 14 seconds, I think it was, left. So they run a play to get to the middle of the field. Okay, so let's say they're at the 13-yard line. It's about a 30-yard field goal at that point. They take a purpose delay of game penalty to get 5 yards further back. So now picture, you just went from a 30-yard field goal to a 35-yard field goal. So the kid comes out.
Usually you see that happen if the team is on the 2-yard line or real close.
Correct.
And
okay,
they want to give them a little bit more room, they'll take the penalty to get a few extra yards to make the kick, I guess, a little easier for the kicker. But that
understood,
just already sounds stupid.
Okay,
and this
so
is what I missed
so,
by not watching the game.
So now they take the delay of game. The kid comes trotting out on the field, and he kicks the field goal. And Jeff, in the last 2 yards, the ball moves outside the goal line. Outside the goalpost, the last 2 yards. I mean, so had they moved in 5 yards, 5 yards closer, the kick, in all probability, there's no guarantees, but if it had acted the same way, would have went through before it moved outside the goalpost, and would have been good. They would have won the game. So bad enough. But here's the excuse after the game from Bruce Arians, which I don't care if you're a Tampa Bay fan or you're a football fan. It's bad, mind-boggling. This is what he said. I wanted to give my kicker an extra 5 yards in depth. He's better kicking from the outside than a short field goal. Get rid of him. if your kicker can't make a 25 or 30 yard field goal, he shouldn't be kicking for you. That made zero sense.
I hear you. You don't need a guy that can only do long distance calls here.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I've seen some kickers who are just strength of leg, and if you want a chance to kick it as far as you can and give it a chance, but any kicker who can't make a 30 yard field goal and needs to drop back 5 yards makes zero sense and should be probably working in the back of a restaurant washing dishes.
Listen, Tom, not for nothing, but a 30 yard field goal, okay? It's not exactly a record setter.
No.
But a 30-yard field goal may even somewhat be in a amateur's range.
Uh-huh.
An amateur should be able to come close. And I'm not talking on the game situations, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But an amateur could come close to making a 30-yard field goal with no problem.
Jeff, it's a 13-yard line. Let's say 13, that would be this 17-yard line. It's about 17-yard field goal plus the gun zone plus the 3 yards or 4 yards back. It's a chip shot. I've in my youth, of course, we used to go down the turf, could make a field goal from that kicking straight on. A professional kicker who needs to be moved back 5 yards to make it comfortable to make a 30 or a 35-yard field goal needs to go wash dishes. Sorry, man. But just the logic behind it, Jeff. I didn't understand the logic at all. I've seen it happen for punters. I've seen crazier things happen. But anyway, so they a couple of stupid plays cost the Tampa Bay Bucks, and the Giants could be 0-3 right now. So I am, there's a lot of bad come out of that game. The first half of the Giant game, that defense was horrendous. It got better in the second half. The offensive line gave up way too many sacks. Played pretty good. No Saquon Barkley, and Daniel Jones played great football. So much came out of that football game. But you're right. It felt like it was forever. It just seemed like it played 100 hours of football. But here's the big question out of this, Jeff. What happens to Eli? Is he sit on the sideline for the next 13 games?
I don't see him going anywhere, Tom, to tell you the truth. I don't think that, you sent me an article while you were away, and I think we actually spoke more football while you were away than we normally do during the week leading up to the show.
I think you're right.
So, you would send me an article with some teams, and I don't know if you ended up getting my response, my email response, but I don't see very many teams where he would be a fit. Other than maybe Jacksonville, maybe. He has a lot of things working against him. He's got age, okay? He's had a few rough seasons in a row. And he's, at the end of his career, he's not going to be a long-term answer. He wasn't exactly lighting it up before this season. It's not like he had a couple good seasons and, they just decided it's time to go with the rookie. The guy has been on the decline. So I don't know of a team, why would he want to go to Miami? That's one. Pittsburgh,
no.
Roethlisberger says he's coming back. But Roethlisberger, Eli, I would rather go with Roethlisberger. What other teams did you mention? Tampa Bay, I think, was on the list. But Jameis Winston seemed to play okay on Sunday. He wasn't bad. He wasn't terrible. He made some pretty decent throws. Tennessee, I can't see Tennessee moving on from Mariota, who's a lot younger, and go on to Eli. And Miami, I think we touched base on that. Miami, who the fuck wants to go play down in Miami? I mean, I think Colin Kaepernick at this point in time would say, no, thank you. I won't sign there.
I don't think that's even a consideration. I think the only team, and it's too late now, they're 0-3, would be Pittsburgh for the season. Because, I mean, Ben's out for the year. If you want to say, hey, we're good enough to maybe make a run with a veteran quarterback, but at 0-3, it would be a minor miracle. I mean, if they were, if this was, week 8 and they were 6-2, playing really well, and had an opportunity, and they want to turn it out to a rookie quarterback or a second-year quarterback in Mason Rudolph, I could see that being a possibility. But not as 0-3. At 0-3, it would be a minor miracle for them to turn around, and they're not that good a team.
Well, listen, why they already have a quarterback that's the same age as Eli. That's one thing.
Mm-hmm. Second, right, but yeah,
you don't.
But you'd be signing Eli just for this year, not for next year. You'd be signing him for just this year. You trade for him for this year.
Totally aware of it. Aware of it. But I firmly believe that next year you're going to see some quarterback movement. There's going to be teams that are going to be looking for quarterbacks either through the draft, who's maybe available via free agency.
Oh, yeah.
So why shouldn't Pittsburgh? I said Pittsburgh wasn't going to be a good team this year. I felt it.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Just didn't see that they were going to be good. Why spend the money on Eli for this year, even this year alone, when you could see what you have in this kid Rudolph?
I would only do it. I would have only considered it if you were 6-2 playing great football and you had an opportunity to do some damage this year, you might want to bring in a veteran quarterback. At 0-3, you're 100% right. Stick with the kid. I looked at it this week. At this moment, I don't see a fit for Eli anywhere that makes sense for him and for the team.
Tom, the only fit for him is where he is right now.
Oh, wait. The one place I would say, and again, same thing, why would he want to go there, is Denver. I think Denver could do it because I don't think they're going to get anything out of Flacco. Other than that, no, you're right. I don't think anybody's going to make that move, and I don't think he wants to make that move.
Yeah, I just don't see it, man. I just don't see it.
Yeah, so it looks like Eli's going to ride the party. I think I'll give Eli some props. I thought he did a nice job during the game. He was involved. I thought he was rooting the kid on. I thought he was genuinely happy for the kid. And that's going to be a tough one, Jeff. I mean, obviously we've never been in that spot. But to think about it, there's a guy who's been the center of attention on that team for 15 years. And then all of a sudden watch and have people react and act like, God, we've got we finally got a good quarterback. It's got to be a little rough on Eli.
Yeah, listen, I'm sure it is. It can't be easy for Eli to sit back and know that what he did and everything else all of those years, and now all of a sudden he's like done. You know, it can't be easy. I know that Eli looks like he's a pretty easygoing guy. Come here. And he looked like he was cool with it from the articles I saw. But he kind of looked a little tense on the sideline to me.
Yeah, I didn't get that feel. Yeah, okay. I definitely didn't get that feel.
Was that?
I didn't get that feel. And I thought – the one thing I thought who's doing the game? Fox. I thought Fox did a nice job not overdoing it with Eli shots on the sideline or commentary. I thought they did a nice – even though I was a little tired of hearing the Barber Brothers talk, I thought they did a nice job.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the announcers – I'm used to watching the announcers with the Jet games and then watching the announcers like for Sunday Night Football with Collinsworth and Al Michaels. So, like, whoever does the announcers for Fox, I believe that's still where the Giants play, right, on 5?
Well, yeah, it depends on which week, but this week, yeah, it was on Fox.
Yeah, I find those guys to be kind of dry. Usually it's Troy Aikman and Joe Buck.
Yeah.
I just don't like them. They don't have, like, I don't want to say personality, but they're just not, I don't know, I just don't like them, you know? And I just, but that's another thing. I just think that the shots that I saw of Eli, it just looked like he was a little tense being on the sideline. That's all.
Well, again, it's a situation where you don't even know at this point. You don't know how to react. I mean, he's never been in that position.
No, he hasn't been, man.
Yeah.
No, he hasn't been, and it's going to be something to see how that goes going forward. If that changes. If he's going to – but I'm sure he would do the right thing. He doesn't look like he would not do the right thing.
No. Again, I just wonder, will he stick it out the whole season, traveling, all of that stuff to sit on the bench and ride the pine the rest of the year? I mean, listen, at any point in any game, it could change. I mean, the kid could get hurt, and then it goes trotting out of Eli for the rest of the year. So, you know, we don't know how this plays out. But let's stick to what we do know and how well Daniel Jones played Sunday. Was I would say, you know what, Jeff, there's a lot of people, and I'm going to pat myself on the back. I said it before the draft. I said it the night of the draft. I said it. I thought that Daniel Jones was the right quarterback for the Giants to take. I was happy they took him. I didn't want anybody else from this year.
Oh, wait. Stop right there. Stop right there.
Yeah.
Stop right there.
Yeah.
Stop right there. I was sitting on the right side of you during
That's
the draft
correct.
And watched
That's
your door hit the floor in your living room when they
Agreed.
Said Daniel Jones.
At six,
and the first words out of your mouth was, they overpicked. So please don't say...
No, I never said that
night that you were happy that they took him at that moment.
Okay, again, what I said to start this was I wanted the Giants to take him. I never said that I wanted to take him at six. I thought that they overreached at six. I wanted him at 17. But I definitely came back at the end of that show and said, well, if the Giants think highly enough of him, I'm okay with it. I would rather see him at 17. But before the draft, that night of the draft, I am one person. I'm not saying there wasn't others, but there were very few who liked this pick. And I just said, I watched him a couple times last year. I watched all the highlights on YouTube. I said, this kid can play football in the NFL. And so far, he's proven that he can. Does that mean anything? No. I have a whole bunch of quarterbacks, their first starts, good ones, bad ones. It's one start. It means that Marcus Mariota threw four touchdowns and in his first game. And to me, Marcus Mariota. Exactly the point. So, I think it's a good start. I what I loved about it, Jeff, it the first time, and you brought up a great name in Hostiles. The first time in a long time where you felt like the minute the guy was in trouble, it wasn't over. Like the first time he bounced out and ran, I was like, holy cow, we have a quarterback who can actually get out of trouble and run. It was amazing. And he did a great job.
You got to say this much too, Tom. And then, it's something to think about. When you're a quarterback, okay,
mm-hmm.
I think it would be easier to be a mobile quarterback and slide in and out of the pocket and being able to run than to be a quarterback the likes of Eli, maybe Tom Brady, guys that would stand in the pocket as it's collapsing because they're committed to the play. Say there's a four-man rush. Okay, that's nearly 1,200 pounds of man, okay, at the average weight of some of these linemen coming at you that want to fucking tackle you, pushing back four or five other 300-pound men. So you're talking a couple tons or more than a ton of humanity that could fall down around you at any moment, and these guys are standing there focused on one receiver, waiting for a break, somebody to make a cut. So, you know, for these guys that play in the pocket like that, it's a brave, brave move, I feel. You know, for these other guys that look to run, like a Baker Mayfield or some of these other guys, you know, it's a different kind of game. It adds a totally different dimension to the game. But, you know, if you think about that, you got all of these guys coming at you, maybe a blitz that you don't know what end is up, and these guys, they just stand there and fire the ball away. You know, that says something, too, about playing that position, too, don't you think?
Very much so. Very much so. Very much so. I agree with that. Yeah, I do. I definitely agree with that. It's a difference. It's a major difference. But what you usually get, Jeff, is a guy who can either sit in the pocket or a guy who can get out of the pocket and move. He came out of the chute as a guy who could do both. There are a few guys, but not a lot of guys who do it really well. Aaron Rodgers is one for me. There's a guy who can throw from the pocket, can move and run. We'll see. Like I said, it's one game. There is a little bit of body work between the preseason and this now, so it's encouraging. But it's a long way. Does this change your mind on the amount of games the Giants could win this year?
Not now, not with Barkley out.
Okay.
No, I don't see them. I mean, we'd have to go over the list, but, you know, I don't see that totally because the Giants' defense is not good.
Yes,
it's not
I
a
agree
good
with
defense.
That.
You
I
know,
agree.
So it can it change throughout the year? Definitely, without
mm-hmm.
a doubt. But the offense definitely looks more competent. And I got to be honest with you, Tom. I kind of have, I feel bad for Eli that maybe they just played harder because it was Jones.
Yeah.
He made that much of
yeah.
a difference because
yeah.
Eli wasn't playing terrible. When I seen him play against Dallas, he wasn't playing terrible. The
yeah.
Jets quarterback on Sunday and the Jets quarterbacking situation so far this season has been terrible. Those guys
brutal.
Are just bad. I haven't
yeah.
seen it play like that from the Giants. You know, it's a completely
no.
different
no.
problem
but
over there.
We talked about this a few weeks back, and I think the problem for Eli is there's no more guys in that locker room that was on the team when Eli was a great player. Other than Diasi, who's the long snapper, you know, most of those guys who are playing with him right now are guys who either just got drafted the last 2 or 3 years or came over from other teams. So while they respect Eli as a hard worker and the things he's accomplished, I don't think any of them had a physical stock or have a stock in him. And I honestly don't feel like any of them would have taken the proverbial bullet for him. I think this kid is well-liked by his teammates, the younger ones. And I think for whatever reason, I think they played a little – I think there was a little something. You know, I think it's one of those things where you're kind of like, oh, we're going to suck, forget it, no big deal. And then this kid comes out there and pulls the miracles that he was pulling or pulls off the good plays that he was. And I think they got a little more stoked for that. I honestly truly believe that the consensus of that team was they wanted this kid to play.
Listen, anything is possible, but let me ask you something, okay? You look. Let's look at the NFC North real quick. Real quick, quarterbacking situation. You got Stafford, Trubisky, Cousins, and Rodgers. Okay,
uh-huh.
And this is just to debunk your theory a little bit. Uh-huh. Out of those 3-4 quarterbacks,
uh-huh.
Real quick, don't get into it. Pick one name that you would want to play behind right now.
Aaron Rodgers.
Okay. Aaron Rodgers, okay, he's the elder statesman of the division.
Mm-hmm.
He has some success. He's won a Super Bowl.
Yep.
So Eli, that's where I disagree with your statement about the younger kids. They got to show some respect to Eli for what he's done on the field,
mm-hmm.
you know, what he means to the organization.
Mm-hmm.
It should be an honor to play with them. I don't think that these guys – are totally disregarding Eli. I understand what you're saying, but you
mm-hmm.
know what? In the game of football, you could be released in a heartbeat if they think that somebody else is going to play just a shade better than you.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, to me, I don't think that it's an issue and that the people weren't playing hard for Eli. I don't think that. I don't think that that's it at all. I think it was a combination of maybe the excitement of a new quarterback playing a team that was more on their level. And, you know, you had nothing to lose at this point in time. You know, like, I think that team knows that there's going to be more changes. I really do. I want to see how they play this week without Barkley. Are they playing at home this week?
They're home this week, yep.
All right, so let's see what happens when they play at home. Without Barkley and with Daniel Jones making his, giant home debut for the Giants, let's see what happens this week and see if the reception for him and if they play as hard and let's see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's going to be interesting to see how the kid reacts to having a bad game. You know, at some point, I mean, they get the skins and then the next two games are the Patriots and Eagles. I believe both games are away. I mean, you know, he may play great this week. We'll see. I'm curious to see how that plays out when he goes to Foxborough and faces a Patriots team that looks, you know, almost unbeatable at this point.
Please, Sunday's game was sickening to watch, man.
Oh my God, yeah. Let's get over to the Jets a little bit. Let's get over there. And you know what? I'm going to go a little first on this one because I know how you're going to react, but. You know, I think it's unfair. I know you've been railing against Gase since they've hired him. But really on at this point, and I'll let you get into your rant, but I think it's unfair because he hasn't had his quarterback. But I'll say this. The offense looks terribly on. It's one thing if the quarterback's not completing passes. I get it. They can't run the football. I mean, Le'Veon Bell's taking a beating. The offensive line is terrible. The receiving core looks like it's never played before. And the biggest thing for me, Jeff, is the defense is atrocious. I'm sorry. They can't cover. They're not making any plays. And I watched a ton of the game on Sunday, and it's unwatchable. And they're going to be 0-6 before you know it. I don't see any way possible that they're going to win any of these next few games. Let's see. It's anything's possible, Jeff. But this team, in my opinion, is a major disappointment. Again, if it was just a quarterback situation, I'd say, all right, I got it. You lose one of the games, or you played well enough, but you know the quarterback didn't make any plays, or he's just bad. Nothing is going. You can't run the football. They everything's bad, Jeff. It's your turn.
I've been saying all along from the spring that this was not a good team. And other people have come on the show.
I agree.
Other people have come and spoke to me in person and in real life and said that, you know, this is a team that's capable of being 10-6, 9-7. And I said, no, it's not. It's not. They have no cornerbacks. They have no edge rusher. They have an overrated defensive lineman in Leonard Williams, okay? You have a safety who spent just as much time off the field as he did on the field. You have a safety that's on the verge now of being disgruntled, with Jamal Adams. You did nothing to shore up the offensive line. You did nothing to improve upon your receivers. There's just so many holes. Adam Gase did nothing in Chicago, did nothing in Miami, and people say that he did awesome with a fucking guy that was already a future Hall of Famer before he got there in Peyton Manning in Denver. He had a losing record as a coach in your division, and you sign him. The coaching staff, I've said it from day one, is just waiting and looking to implode. It's just a matter of time before it does. I mean, think about it. The defense is horrible, so Greg Williams is going to start to answer questions. If you don't think that was a defensive coordinator, linebacker coach, I believe he is, Gase's father-in-law, these guys are going to start pointing fingers. It's going to happen. The off-field stuff is going to be even more hilarious than what they're putting on the field very shortly. I see no reason why this team is going to win a game anytime before Halloween. They may be on the fast track to the number one pick. They really may.
They're not worse than the Dolphins.
In their division, they're tied for last, but they are dead last in their division because of losses within their conference or division. I forget which one it was. So they actually, the Miami Dolphins, who seem to suck even more than they do, are actually listed as the first last team of the two last place teams in that division.
Yeah.
No, and not because it's alphabetical, because they're just the better of the two teams, stats wise.
Yeah. I don't think it'll end that way, Jeff. I don't think it'll end that way. I think the Dolphins are bad and they're trying to be bad. I think the Jets will get better when Donald comes back. They'll win some games. There's some winnable games in the second half. But this team is not going to be anywhere near as good as I thought it could be.
No, I've been telling you the last couple of years that it's going to suck. You know, even if you had Donald back there, an offensive line folds like a house of cards.
Yeah.
How and what are they going to do anytime in the near future, that offensive line? That's one thing. Second of all, even if Donald is there, you have some decent receivers, but they're going to know that Anua is out. You got Robbie Anderson. You got a bunch of other people that I don't even know where the fuck they came from or who they are that are on the team. You got Crowder, who's been playing pretty good. You had him on the outside instead of his usual position in the slot. you know, he's not used to playing there, so how much could he do? Are they trying to make him the number one receiver right now for this season? It's not going to work. They are getting some people back. They're getting their tight end back after four games. So in week five, he should be there. Is he suspended 4 games or 4 weeks?
I believe it's four weeks.
Okay, so then he won't be back till week six.
Right.
Okay, if that's the case, there's no guarantee that Donald is definitely going to be back in. They got to wait and make sure that he's okay.
Yes.
But I don't think you could put Tom Brady back there and get that much of different results. The defense has scored just as many points as the offense has. This is this could be a historically bad Jets team.
Well, I think I think the biggest problem, and I said it, Mike Passamonte argued with me to no end. I said, I don't like the fact, and this comes back to the theory, you know, the teams just don't play their starters in the preseason, and you have to, especially, listen, if you play together, you know, if you're the Cowboys, the offensive line, you don't have to play together in the preseason very much because you've been doing it for years. When you're putting in new players and they're not all pros and they haven't played together for years, there's a lot to be said, especially in football, about chemistry and continuity and being able to talk during a game and everybody being on the same wavelength. And the Jets aren't. And I think that goes back to them not playing their players in the preseason. And, you know, they look at it. Right now, you're lucky if Le'Veon Bell don't get killed by midseason.
Yeah, but you know what, Tom? You got to think of something. Pertaining to the Jets situation, you signed a center that retired.
Yeah.
Okay? You coaxed him out of retirement late into the preseason. So there wasn't enough time for him to come out, get the rust off, learn, and get in there and play some football. Le'Veon Bell, maybe it's actually better at this point in time, at the way they're using him, that he didn't play any in the preseason. Because he's getting batted around at this point in time.
Yeah.
You know, football's not baseball where you don't have to go full speed in the preseason. You could be just standing there backpedaling and blow a leg out, blow a knee out. So I don't think that it's – I understand your point for certain positions maybe, but in those positions, the offensive line wasn't ready to go anyway. So it really doesn't matter if they were all there to play or not. The one guy, Khalil, was still learning the system, how to get into football shape and everything else. So what difference does it make? But there's other positions that I would have liked, like Quinnen Williams. This kid played only a half a game in the first game. He got injured. He's still not back yet. Mosley, big acquisition for the offseason.
Yep.
The defense looked completely different when he was in the game. Okay? He's out.
Oh, yeah.
Hopefully he comes back for week five. And the biggest disappointment yet to me, and now I know that Quinnen Williams has been out injured, but Leonard Williams, this guy's in a contract year. Do the Jets try to trade this guy before the fucking trade deadline and get something for him, or do they let him walk away and just be like, be gone?
Well, I mean, listen, what do you get? But I think, I do not see the Jets paying him based on the last few years. He has not produced. You can tell me all you want about, you know, he's getting triple teamed and all that stuff. I get it, but, you know, why pay him then? Why bother? If you can't free him up to help you, then I don't see the need to bring him back. I do believe that there's a chance if they're 0-6, 1-7, 2-8, 2-7, whatever, before the trade deadline, I could see them making that move, Jeff, because they're not going to give him the big contract next year. I just don't see it.
No, not unless this guy all of a sudden becomes a sack machine.
Right.
Which we don't see happening anyway as it is. It hasn't happened yet in his NFL career. But, you know, you mentioned about the double or triple teams. If that was true, and I know he's been double teamed and everything else, don't get me wrong, but if somebody else had stepped up, on that defensive line, and they were getting 12, 14 sacks a year. Mm-hmm. And they said, listen, I attribute it because, you know, Leonard Williams is getting double and triple teamed out there because he's a savage. Frees me up. I'm getting around back. I nailed the quarterback twice in this game. It doesn't happen.
Yeah.
There's nobody else that's stepping up into that role. Yeah. It just shows the need that of what they need, that the player, the answer is not there. And then they go out and draft a guy that's an interior lineman. I don't care how good he is, because they said that Leonard Williams was good. He didn't work out. Muhammad Wilkerson was supposed to be good, didn't work out. So, you know, is that going to be the same fate that awaits Quentin Williams? I don't know.
I don't know.
He plays good in the first game, but there was nothing special that you're like, wow, this guy's an animal in the first game. I understand it was the first game, but I didn't walk away impressed.
No. Definitely not. I think it's a listen, I still believe it's a long year for both teams right now. I've changed my opinion based on what's in front of us. Probably a lot more to talk about based on that. And guys, don't forget, we'll be back this Thursday night, 6:30 to 9:30 with the regular show. We have some guests coming on. We'll talk a lot of football. Remember, next Thursday, October 3rd, Jeff and I get to talk to the one and only Brian Doyle, 1978 Yankee World Series hero. I put on a couple times that he was the MVP. He was not MVP. I forgot that Bucky Dent won it that year. I wanted Doyle to win it because Doyle was the better player. But Brian Doyle will be calling in to talk about his upcoming autobiography. And we're looking forward to having Brian on to talk. Right, Jeff, it'll be right before the World Series, the playoffs start. Yankees start on the 4th. We'll be having Brian Doyle on the 3rd. And we'll get to talk some Yankee baseball from our era, from 1978, 77. Should be a lot of fun.
I think it's going to be great to talk to Brian Doyle. I remember him playing in that World Series and everything.
Yeah.
And he had a big hand in helping the Yankees win that World Series and topping the Dodgers. So it's going to be great to talk to somebody from that team. That was a special team for a lot of people. And
that
was around the first time I really started to really watch and understand baseball with the 78 Yankees. So I'm looking forward to that one.
Yeah, you and me both. I think that's right up in our wheelhouse. I'm looking forward to getting to talk to somebody I watched in one of my favorite teams growing up. The 76 Yankees were my first team I really paid attention to, and I watched every game of those World Series. And we'll look forward to it. That'll be next Thursday night. So we'll be doing that. We got tons of guests. And please check out HotRocketSports.com. We'll do a couple more minutes. I want to go around the league. Not really around the league. I want to just touch base on some of the bigger topics.
But before we – I got to take a little bit of a lead on this one. There's one thing that we must talk about.
Go ahead.
Because we can actually go around the league. Because you sound tired, bro. I'm not going to lie to you.
Yep.
But we have to talk about this. Antonio Brown.
Go ahead. Yeah, that's where I was headed. But go for it.
What happened to this man? What kind of nonsense is this guy up to? He gets out of Pittsburgh, pulls all his stunts and games in Oakland, gets signed basically a couple hours after he was released. You know that contract was taken care of and just had to be made official to go to the Patriots. Then the sexual accusations started. Then once those sexual accusations ended up hitting the papers and the news and everything else, this stupid person, this stupid motherfucker, was sending group text messages to the people that were accusing him, threatening and intimidating group text messages. Could you be any dumber than that? Did he essentially kill his NFL career? Even if he's found innocent, did he just kill his NFL career?
I believe he's done. I don't think anybody. I would be shocked if there was anybody willing to take him at this point. I think he's done. I said it before the year. I didn't think he ever wanted to play football again. I thought he was in that mode of, I just don't want to play football. I got confused when he went to the Patriots because it wasn't for a ton of money. And I didn't know why he was going there. Listen, Jeff, all that I can say is I'm wondering if a lot of this behavior was there in Pittsburgh and they just buried it, because it just seems weird to me that all of a sudden this guy's off the deep end.
Yeah, but that's Tom, not for nothing. That's a lot of behavior to bury, man. Think about that for a second, bro. That is a lot of behavior to fucking bury. And my question is this. Even if it was there, was he that much of a player? Was he that important? Did he fill that much of a role that you eat that much bullshit from him?
Again, some people, and it'd be hard to argue that some people would put him as the best or the top two receiver in the league. Again, I was never the biggest fan of Antonio Brown, but he was a great player. I don't know. You'd have to ask Pittsburgh. I find it hard to believe, Jeff, that he woke up at the end of last year and turned into this complete maniac. I have a hard time believing it. I think it just got to the point where it came out. But, I mean, think about what the last year has brought to this guy. He's ran away from Pittsburgh, talked bad about his coach, his quarterback, who they said were friends. Went to Oakland, frostbitten feet, helmet issues. I mean, I just don't see it, Jeff. I think that this had to have been there for a while.
I'm sure that there was some underlying issues, but you can't tell me that this all boiled over in a year. I mean, a lot of it had to be there. The signs had to be there. This isn't something that he just woke up and said, you know what, I'm going to be a complete jerk off. Because he did bitch that he ended up losing out on, what was it, like $45 million or something, or $40 million this year due to his own stupidity.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And then, you know what, I'm sure that a lot of football players have women throwing themselves at them and everything just because of their football players, regardless of what they look like and everything else. And I'm sure that Antonio Brown is one of them. But the worst of it all was is that when the emails he sent, the way that he talked in the emails, I remember we tried to read that online. Read it on the show a couple weeks ago.
Yes.
It was almost unreadable. This is a man that supposedly has college education and you know, should be able to stand upright compared to some other people in society because he was college educated and has a little bit of money. And the guy is just like, you got to be kidding me. This is how he acts. This is the way that he talks. And the way that he conducts himself, never mind the sexual misconduct, because to be honest with you, as a professional athlete, that can happen to any of these guys. They're all targets. And you know what I mean? Don't you agree with that?
Oh, sure. Yep, I agree with that.
You know,
yep.
They go out and bang some chick, and all of a sudden she finds out that, well, look who this is. He's a wide receiver for a team. And, you know, I mean, listen, didn't Le'Veon Bell get robbed earlier in the off season, because he left two girls at his house?
Yeah, he met two girls he met in the bar the night before. He just left them, and they robbed him of $500,000 in jewelry and money and all that other shit.
Yeah, and not for nothing, to his credit, you haven't really seen or heard him bitch about anything about it. And then Antonio Brown goes and writes, like, I don't even know what to say.
Yeah.
It looked like something out of a rap video.
Yeah, I got to be honest. Like I said, I didn't see this coming. I was believing the conspiracy theory that he did all of this to get to the Patriots. He wanted to go there. The Steelers wouldn't trade him there, so he did everything he could to get there. And I think that's still the case. I just think that he didn't realize. And why would these people wait? I mean, the one girl, she had an attack in 17, and another one in 18, I think. And she didn't bring it to light till now. Like, that's the part I don't get. You know, like, I don't get, why do you wait all this time and then go, oh, by the way?
You know, Tom, who knows? Because I think that a lot of these guys do turn around, do some of this bullshit that they get accused of, and then turn around and be like, yeah, you know, I'll give you in the next 18 months, I'll give you $70,000 a month for the next year and a half. And they're like, well, okay, I'll take that. And then they get one or two payments, and then it'll be like, well, you're supposed to be paying me. And then they get fed up, and they blow the whistle on them. It could be something of that nature. Who knows? But it is very suspicious, the timing of it. But you know something? Here's something else. I don't know if you know this. Right now, he's an NFL free agent. Anybody can sign him if they want. Okay?
Yep.
But the commissioner said normally these guys in his situation would go on the exempt list, the commissioner's exempt list or whatever it's called, for 11 weeks or something like that, or, you know, until the investigation is taken care of. Mm-hmm. They won't put him on that until somebody tries to sign him. Then he has to wait the 11 weeks or whatever it is before he can actually play. So sooner or later, I'm surprised when he decides he wants to play again that the NFL is going to be holding him down and not letting him play. Watch, that'll be the next thing that he'll bitch about.
Yes, I agree with that. Yeah, that's it. That is an interesting situation. I did not realize that. Thank you for bringing that up. I did not realize that. Wow. That's weird.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't they just put him? I guess is that to screw with him?
Yeah, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
I'm guessing. Hmm. What else could it possibly be? How do you, if you did something, you played in the NFL, and you did something wrong, and they'll be like, all right, Tom, you're going to be on the exempt list or whatever they call it, commissioner's list.
Yeah.
And I believe it was 11 weeks. Okay, I think that's the number. I'd have to look back at it. So now you're on the clock from now. Okay, so there's still a chance that you could play later on in the season.
Mm.
At week four, and nobody showed interest in them because they want to see all the legal information about where he stands. So everybody's waiting on the legal information. Then if they decide to sign him, they're going to hold him out for 11 weeks or whatever it is before he can get out on the field. Guy's never going to play again this year. That's it. This year's over.
Oh, yeah. And you're right, Jeff. I even if he did sign someplace, even if he was allowed to play, he's never signing him. Nobody's signing him at this point. His season's over, and I think it would take a major publicity makeover for him to get a job next year in the NFL. I mean, listen, anything's possible, but you're talking about a 31, 32-year-old receiver looking for big money who's been nothing but trouble everywhere he's been for the last year. Nah, I think he'll be teaming up with Colin Kaepernick someplace, throwing footballs in the park.
Did you see the meme of them, Colin Kaepernick, saying, hey, you want to play catch?
No, I did not see that. I didn't see that. That
would
be
fun. It was actually pretty funny. I got to see if I can find it and send it to you.
Find it. If you get it, send it to me. Get that, send it to me. You know, we got a couple more minutes, and then we'll wrap this up in a minute or two. But it was a lot of – we'll talk more about this on Thursday, Jeff, but there was a lot of young quarterbacks playing Sunday. A lot that did well. I had Kid Allen up in Carolina, played really well in Cam Newton's spot.
Who, by the way, is being held out again this week.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and that new kid is going to play.
Yeah, sorry.
Ron Rivera said there's no timeline for Cam Newton to come back as of yet. They're going to let him take his time. Is that a nice way of saying that he's done here?
I wouldn't say that. I would just say that, well, let's put it this way. This kid keeps playing really well, and I have no idea. I don't know anything about this kid other than what I watched on Sunday. You got to think that you know, maybe Cam doesn't come back immediately into his job. I don't know. We'll see. But I think that's an interesting one. I watched a little bit of the Saint game on Sunday. You know, I think, Jeff, the true – they wound up winning the game. But the line is, if you have two quarterbacks, you have none, was very telling Sunday. I was not impressed Sunday with the Saints in the Saints game. Neither quarterback I thought was spectacular, but they got a win out of it. So I think that's an interesting situation to see how that plays out for 6 weeks, because you have that team. I'm pretty sure you had that team going to the Super Bowl, Jeff, didn't you, this year?
I don't remember, but probably. I was a strong believer in them, but injuries have changed a lot of the landscape of the NFL this year so far.
Yeah. I think we're going to spend a little bit of time going over. There's a lot of weird records right now. There's I think the Eagles are 1-2. The Cowboys are 3-0. There's a lot of, obviously the Steelers are 0-3. Nobody would have predicted that. So there's a lot of weird stuff going on in the NFL. There's a lot of coaches on the hot seat right now. Jay Gruden, obviously anybody associated in Miami's on a hot seat right now. There's a lot of weird stuff going on.
I got to disagree with you there on that one.
Sure.
I don't think that the Dolphins or that the Dolphin coaches are in danger right now, because I believe that they have a part of what's going on.
I agree with that, but here's the thing. Jim Harbaugh, there's a little bit to this one for you. So Jim Harbaugh is the coach up in Michigan, and they have taken some beatings the last couple of years. Ohio State crushed them last year, and then they just went down 35-0 to Wisconsin. Now, there's a lot of high hopes for Michigan this year, and it's not coming through. So there's a lot of people thinking that Jim might still look to bolt. And the one place where the owner was so high, this the owner of the Dolphins so wants Jim Harbaugh as his coach that if Jim Harbaugh made himself available, he will pay off Flores and he will bring Jim Harbaugh down. Now, does Jim Harbaugh want to leave his alma mater before he turns it around? Does he want to go there instead of a different NFL team? Is there another job for him? I have no idea. I think the one guy that could upset that if he comes out would be Jim Harbaugh. So
I don't know, Tom. I mean, listen, who knows? He's been, connected to other jobs that have been coming out and everything. But I don't know. But I guess, if the money is there, you never know what may happen. But I just don't see it. I just don't see him leaving there to come to the back to the NFL for Miami.
He would get John Gruden money, 10 years, $100 million to go coach that team, guaranteed. He would get the biggest contract. Turn that thing around. They got a ton of picks. They're in a division where, it's hard to. I mean, the Patriots can't look any better than they have. I mean, their defense is playing great football. They're doing just enough on offense to win. They gave up 2 touchdowns all year, 3 games. I mean, they just have looked great. But, some point the wheels have to come off, and the rest of it, the Buffalo Bills may be the next best team in that division easily, and they're getting better. I think they're 3-0 at this point.
Yeah, right now they are, yeah. But you know what? You got to remember something, too. They just traded in the beginning of the season, Larry Tunsil, and they traded Fitzpatrick. Mm-hmm. It's like that team has nothing at all left.
I agree with you, but that's the name. They're going for the number one pick in the draft. They've already gotten a bunch of other picks from people, for all these trades. So, Miami, Jeff, what you learn in the NFL today is it doesn't take 10 years to rebuild if you got the right people there and they make the right picks. It doesn't guarantee, but
there's so much that has to be done there, Tom.
Yeah,
I don't think that it's just, I just don't think that anything is going to help them anytime soon. You know what I mean?
Oh no, listen, I don't think they're turning around next year. But and you're right. Whatever pieces of value they had, they've essentially traded away or let go or released. So it's it's not going to happen tonight. It's certainly not going to happen next year. But I think it starts with bringing in the right people. And again, I just think the one guy that they may flip for and do whatever they had to do to get would be Harbaugh. But like I said, that's down the road. And who knows if he turns around the season in Michigan and. I don't even know what his contract, if he can get himself out of that contract. So we'll see. Like I said, a lot of stuff in the NFL landscape right now. Big things in New York, some good, some bad. I think Thursday night's going to be an interesting show. We'll talk about all the quarterbacks, right, Jeff? We'll talk about all the teams who's 3-0, who's 0-3, what the surprises are. But
yeah, we have a lot more to talk about Thursday.
Oh yeah,
how to get this in tonight?
Yeah, again, I think the big thing for me. I thought it was too early to make this move, I still think it's too early. Let me go back and say that. I still would not have liked to see Daniel Jones. I'm glad he played. They won, but the hostile crowd on the road. You know, I did not like the circumstances for him in this game. No Golden Tate. The Fowler was hurt. So to me, I think it was an interesting week to do it. It worked out for the best. They won a game. It was a great win. So shame on me. I was wrong, but I think a lot of it had to do with the fact that I thought emotionally I felt bad that Eli was pushed aside for apparently no reason. Although, again, they never win that game with Eli quarterbacking.
No, I don't think they would have either, man.
No.
I don't see that happening.
He took a beating, and the reason they won was the kid, basically, his uses athleticism. So, but, we'll touch base more on this on Thursday night. We'll talk about the Yankees on Thursday, Jeff. Plenty of Yankee stuff coming up with the playoffs about to happen. We'll talk a ton of football. We have a guest, and lots of stuff going on. Also, we got to do a little wrestling talk, right? You wanted to bring up a little wrestling this week.
Yeah, I saw that clip, and I was just like, you got to be kidding me. I said, we got to talk about this.
I think that might just lead off the show. I'm looking forward to that. I wound up watching a lot of wrestling stuff over the weekend after seeing that clip. So, yeah, I'm excited to talk about the squared circle and the growing up. So we'll talk. I'll reach out to you tomorrow to kind of go over the game plan for it. But I was glad we get on the air tonight. I wanted to get the Daniel Jones stuff. I didn't want to use up too much of the show on Thursday night on this, so I'm glad we got this tonight. We'll get more a little Jets and Giants. By the way, we're also going to talk about the big bets that have been going on. One of us is 3-0, and one of us is not 3-0.
We'll talk about it. We'll have plenty of time to talk about it, and it's not how many weeks you've won, it's how much money you've won.
That's true.
We still have 14 weeks to go. So don't get ahead of yourself.
Hopefully you'll have a few dollars left over to be around for 16 weeks. We'll have to see.
Well, remember just a couple of weeks ago with a card game, I told you that I was going to walk out of there with some money, and you didn't believe it, but it's going to happen again.
That is true. So, but guys, we're going to wrap this show up for tonight. I need to get a little sleep. I'm, for some reason, very exhausted today. It's been a long day. But I'm glad that Jeff wanted to do this because I wanted to get so much. Everybody saw how much we were going back and forth in text messages and everything else during the week that we were supposed to be off the air. We should have just cranked up a show and did it. We'd have been better off. But
you could have posted pictures of the text messages. That could have been the show.
Exactly right. But we'll get back to this on Thursday night, 6:30 to 9:30 here at Hot Rocket Sports. We hope you come on back and join us for that show. We got lots to get to, and with big bets. We'll talk Mets, Yankees. October 10th, also, guys. I know next, the 3rd is Brian Doyle, but the 10th we have a couple guests. But we're also going to have Paul Gill and Roy Jones for the season-ending Jet review, Jeff. Not Jet, Mets review. We did a preseason one, but we'll have the boys on to do a kind of closeout.
You can keep Roy on for a few extra minutes and do an end-of-season Jet review, too, because it'll be over by that time. So,
yeah, that's true. That is true. So, yeah, just put on October 10th, 7 p.m., Paul and Roy come on, and we'll they started the season coming on the show. We did a brief kind of a season review. I'm going to go back and pull that tape and kind of see what they both predicted, and we'll play that for the boys, and we'll get their take on how the season went. So it's always fun to have Roy and Paul on, and we'll do that. And lots of stuff to talk about, guys, but we'll do it all on Thursday night. Jeff, thanks for an hour and 10 minutes. Went by real quick, and we'll do it again Thursday for 3 hours.
All right, very good. I'm already looking forward to it.
You got it. Hold on. We cannot close out any episode of the Hot Rocket Sports Show without playing our goodbye theme. So here it is.
stage is that moose, you know.
When you're playing, you feel like a preserved moose on stage.
Yeah.
That's right. So for Jeff Towensky, Nick Marino, myself, and everybody here at Hard Rock and Sports, I say thanks for listening. Have a great day off tomorrow. We'll see you guys back here Thursday night, 6:30, 9:30, Hard Rock and Sports. F.A., thanks for an hour, brother. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
No problem, dude. I'm sure we'll be in touch. Something will happen tonight. So
you got it.
All right, man. Be good. Go to sleep.
Later, everybody.
Later.